going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of Casual KO here on Dangerous World Podcast. Nick is not available this week, but I do have his picks as usual, so we'll be going
through Nick?
Those.
Yeah, we miss him.
It's nice that you're available to come on when this dude's not, because I like at least having two people. But the dude's busy, man. You know, I don't know how it is down there in Australia. I don't think they have a crazy work week. I don't know. It seems like a normal pace, but dude's
not
available.
You guys aren't like going through a little falling out because you guys are like competing now, are you?
No, not at all, dude. No, we're totally cool. As far as I know, I don't think he's ahead in our little competition. So if he's mad, he's just busy. You know, it's tough to schedule with somebody on the other side of the world, dude. You know, this dude's literally a day ahead of us and it's morning and all this stuff. So, but yeah, man. So we got Alex from Profit Picks here. Should be a pretty good show. We've had you on a couple times. You've been on more lately when Nick's unavailable, but we'll get all three of us together at some point again. And you said that you broke a little cold streak.
I did break a losing streak last week for UFC. I just was getting crushed. You know what I was doing? I was just, you know how there's been like 4 weeks where there's a lot of hometowners.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fading a lot of hometowners and getting crushed by close decisions,
right.
Stoppages. It's just so on the Mexican card, the Noche card, kind of went against myself a little bit. Started betting with a little bit more of the hometowners. And the only one who screwed me was Patilla. And other than that, I'm happy to get back on track because usually when I'm on the podcast, I usually have a good week. You guys always give me like a little good insider info as well.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited. I'm not really running to the book to bet too many things on this card, but I do like a couple spots. And, I was also interested on what you were doing for your ladder challenge.
Yeah, I did. I call it the Eiffel Tower. No one else calls it that. I just wanted to be a little different. It makes me think of another thing that's the Eiffel Tower, too. You know, it's just kind of fun. So, you know what I'm talking about. But yeah, man. So it's cool that you had a nice little Noche night there because I did the same thing. I bet on mostly Mexicans, including Tracy Cortez. A lot of people went with Jesse DeVicious there, but not me. And how about that Chires Lacerda fight, man? We were talking about that back and forth through text and you're asking me where I was going. I said Lacerda round one KO. Wasn't looking like that was going to happen.
I honestly did bet both sides. I had two bets on that fight. And they both pushed, which is, I'll take it because I would have lost on both if Chares won that way. I had Chares round two and I had Lacerda round one. So I was a little bit disappointed at the outcome because I would have lost both my bets, but I'll take a push there.
Oh, yeah.
He had the finish. I thought that was a little bit of a fishy no contest, but it's a great way to let Lacerda, come in and get finished again, I guess.
Yeah, dude, I still think he's got it, man. Chires kind of surprised me with that sub, even though I heard a lot of people talking about the sub. But, I mean, pushes will help you sometimes, and then they'll fuck you. We both kind of got fucked by a Contender Series push earlier in the female fight this last
I was literally saying I was, like, very overconfident on Luciano because I kept saying this all week. I was like, lucky Luciano.
Well, she's more well-rounded, dude. The other chick was just a jiu-jitsu pro, and she's, like, short as shit, you know? I don't know. It's weird how they set those lines sometimes over there at the Contender Series. But let's move on to this week, man. We got 11 fights as of now. We're recording this on the 20th of September here, just the Wednesday night before the fights on Saturday. I got some stats here. I added some extra slides. If you happen to watch the rapid picks that I did, it was just a quick show by myself and went through one of these slides. But I wanted to make sure that we had some additional information here. Let's just go through it. Let's start with the first fight of the night. Montserrat Rendon. I thought she was French, but she's Mexican. going against Tamaris Vidal. And I'll start this off, man, just because I think it'll end up being... Well, no, actually, you start it off, because then you'll get the honors on the main event, too, because there's an odd number of fights.
All right, I'm going to start off right now with I have... not done good against Tamaris Vidal. I bet against her in the first, her debut, and she got a crazy finish. Who did she fight in her debut?
Was that Raquel Pennington? Or not Raquel Pennington, Pasquale, right?
Yeah, it might have been Pasquale. And I just didn't like the tape on Vidal. I thought she was green, but she showed a lot of improvement from what the tape that I watched. Seems like a whole different fighter, but I think she needs to work on the grappling a little bit. I wouldn't touch this fight. I have a couple friends of mine who are betting Montserrat, but right now, I after getting burned on Vidal, I'm not. I don't think I'm going to bet against her here.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be curious to see what your friends that are betting on Montserrat see, because she has only gone to decision. There's some people out there with shows that are saying that Tamaris has had two UFC fights and finishes in both. That's not the case. She fought Ramona Pascual, who kind of sucks, for the UFC level.
And I bet Ramona. I bet Ramona in that, and boy, was I upset.
Yeah, I bet
Tamaris. I thought she had a chin. I thought this girl was going to dog out dog her.
To be fair, her chin didn't show weakness. She just took a knee to the sternum or to the liver, maybe. You know, that's what really kind of fucked her there. But with the stats that you're seeing here, you're not seeing much as far as, like, the striking differentials. You know, Montserrat hasn't had anything. But Tamaris going off her one fight in the UFC, three-minute fight time in the UFC, pretty effective with the strikes. She's 9 years younger here. Opened as a favorite. I got the signs mixed up here on this on the bottom for anyone noticing, but I mean, the chick's going to win this, dude. I don't understand why anyone would be leaning towards Rendon. I she's old. She doesn't have any power. She's got good cardio. She's in very good shape, but I see a Tamaris Vidal finish.
Because Vidal's cardio is, I don't think she has cardio. I think she's only got one round in her, in my opinion. So yeah, that could be the path to victory. Montserrat decision, you know, wet blanket a little bit, but
yeah,
I'm not running to the book to bet this fight. If anything,
go on.
Vidal finish or Montserrat decision, try to double dip.
Yeah, man, I just don't see how Montserrat hangs. I really don't. I don't know if you watch much tape on her, man, but, like, you know, her cloudy fight, her most recent fight, she looked bad, and I think that she lost that fight. Both of her split decisions, I think she lost. Again, she's only gone to decision at low level competition. Tamaris Vidal's strong. She's tough. And she, dude, I'm actually more confident on her than a lot of plays on this entire card. And she is that first leg of my, my big parlay that I got this weekend is Tamaris Vidal. Yeah. Not any method.
You know what it was, though? I thought that, you know, why is the line a little bit too low? Why isn't she minus 300, minus 400? You know what I mean? Why are they making this fight is another question that I asked myself.
I don't know, because it seems like they like Vidal. Another reason is, if you look over here, it's a bantamweight bout. They don't have many girls in bantamweight there. There's people that are really bad fighters that are ranked in bantamweight in the women's division there. So I think they're trying to bring talent in. They're trying to build certain fighters and then just introduce more bodies.
Giving Vidal a little slow come up.
Maybe. Because, again, she's 25. 25 versus 34. You know, it's just, that's such a big deal. And then 34 in women's MMA, man, that's like, you know, 38 in men's. So we'll see, man. But yeah, she's the first leg. I'm very confident in her. It's funny that you got some friends on there. We'll see.
I don't mind that. Yeah, I got a Pro Schmo Bet, a good source of mine. He is cold right now. I'll give him that. He is cold. So that is a good sign for you. But yeah, I saw him put out a play with Montserrat on it. And I honestly not going to be tailing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows, man? I could be wrong. I've been wrong plenty of times. It'd be a shitty week to be wrong, especially to start off, but we'll see. We'll see where it goes. But yeah, I'm heavy on Vidal. I think that, I think she gets a round two finish, to be honest. I think she can hang. And I think if it goes 15, she's still got it. So we'll see. What's your, if you had a gun to your head and you had to make a pick round method fighter, what do you got?
I'll take Vidal by finish. You know, hopefully she can make it up to me for taking my money last time. I do like this. And the odds makers are throwing some respect on her name, minus 200. I thought it would have been higher, though. That's the only thing that kind of fished me out. I was like, you know, minus 200 after that great show out and against a debutant doesn't really make sense to me.
Yeah, no, dude, I am right there with you, and I definitely get it. Nick is on Vidal. I believe my phone is wigging out right now, but I believe he had sub round three, but he does have Vidal. So, but yeah, I'll come back to it once Instagram works, but it's just not working yet. It's not going to work. So My bad, Nick. I'll post your picks. But yeah, let's move on to the second fight of the night, and I'll start this one off because this is the second leg of my parlay. Okay.
Oh, you're going with both the females.
I am, and I'm making another mistake that you're not supposed to do, but this is such a sketchy card. There is one third female fight that I'm not touching later, but this is such a sketchy card with such interesting matchups, such tightly matched matchups, that I want to try to take chalk in a situation like this. And I'm not just blindly following chalk. I've watched all these girls' fights, and I are, you know, most of them, the ones that I feel are relevant. Mizuki did very well against Amanda Lemos in her last fight. Okay. She hurt her ACL in that fight, but Amanda Lemos just fought for the title, looked like shit, but she's knocking out the girl that's fighting three fights from the top on the same card. Mizuki's 29 off a 3-year layoff, which is shady. But Hannah Goldie got spinning elbow knocked out by one of the worst fighters in a division up from here, right? Flyweight. She has bad cardio in Hannah Goldie. Moving down to 115 from 125, she's going to have worse cardio. Mizuki has great cardio. She's more well-rounded. She's stronger. She's not going to be the more powerful puncher here. And when I say stronger, she's not like gym strong. But, dude, yeah, Mizuki all day here. And I think that she could get a potential finish, too. I think this could be a sub.
I'm 100% behind you. I don't know more about the finish. I wouldn't even touch a method here because Mizuki is not known for, you know, knocking women out.
Not at all.
But Hannah could get tired. And, yeah, you're right. After, if we think about this, there's a one card on Friday. Okay. So the Asian market is going to be fresh right after Friday after watching one. This might gain their whole audience to come and watch, you know, Mizuki, who's also pretty popular out in Asia. I like her. I bet on her in her first fight. That was one of the locks of the card. She looked great. She got the job done. Would love to keep it rolling. I'm worried because Hannah has fought in, who does she train with? Jillian Robertson, right? Main training partner.
Jessica Andrade, I believe, lately too, who sucks lately.
Yeah, very true. But I guess I'm worried that she's coming down. She's going to have a little bit of a power advantage. I'd be worried if she could get Mizuki to the ground and just wet blanket her. But I know Hannah's definitely not going to have the cardio here at this weight. So the finish is a sleeper. I wouldn't get greedy, but I'll definitely have Mizuki on some slips 100%.
Yeah, I'm just taking money line in my parlay. But if you look at this number right here for Mizuki, her submission, because this is knockouts here on the left and then submissions here on the right. Submissions are 9. I mean, she's never lost by submission, but she's got 9 finishes by submission. And that's why I'm going Mizuki round 2 or 3 sub. I think that's
fishy because she is more like a boxer from what I saw.
I mean, she's really well-rounded. She didn't look like a boxer against Lemos. She got dropped against Lemos. But again, Lemos is top of the division, man. I'm high on Mizuki in this, too.
She cuts a lot of weight, too. She cuts a ton of weight.
Who's that?
Lemos.
Oh, yeah, she's powerful as shit, man. And to be clear, just to circle back, because I finally got Instagram working, Nick picked Vidal knockout round 3. So we're all on Vidal. I confused it for sub there, but
that cardio show.
Yeah, man. We'll see where this goes, dude. We'll see where this goes. And yeah, for the first fight of the night too, that's a bold call by Nick, the round 3 knockout, but we'll see, man. Crazier shit's happen. But yeah, I'm on Mizuki here all day. And I think that she does get a sub round 2 or 3. Any method for you? Just decision?
Yeah, I would do decision. You know, Hannah Goldie, just maybe there's some spots. And also, here's a huge thing. I don't know if you saw this last week. We had some insider info last week get dropped from Herb Dean. And okay. He helped us out, put a little extra money in our pockets. He posted the sheet of the refs and the judges and the assigned ref who watches replays.
Okay.
So right off the bat, we knew where Mark Smith's going to be, where Chris Tognoni's, where he's going to be. We knew where there was going to be more likely a bad stoppage, where there's more likely going to go over. And we ended up betting the split in the Holland Madalena fight. And it was all because we had a good ref. We had a ref that was more likely to go over than not. And we said, this is likely to go to a decision. Let's get a little greedy.
Which refs, if you know off the top of your head, which refs let it go longer when a fighter's getting beat up on the ground, let's say,
versus all right, so I'm like give some you that early couple. Stop? I trust this isn't the best one from top to bottom. I'll give you Keith Peterson is number one for overs. He don't stop nothing. He lets a lot of things go.
No nonsense. Bobby Hill.
No. He's my favorite ref. He's the best. Always bet the over with him. Steve Herzog's not bad. Mark Goddard's not bad with the overs.
Tognoni's the worst.
Because they usually have the horrible stoppages late in the fight where you know you already hit you over. And I guess there's a good couple for the unders. Mark Smith, great for unders. He loves stopping it. Chris Tognoni, he's just horrible. I can't believe he's still around because he's screwed over, I think, everyone who's bet on UFC with some bad stoppages. He's the king of that.
Yeah.
And I guess the only problem that we have is that when we get the refs, you want to have a ref that you know. Because when we're in Australia, Abu Dhabi, it's always refs that we have no idea who we're dealing with.
Right.
So, honestly, I wish I could get that info every week because it's a huge major key on cracking the whole card as a puzzle.
Interesting. I wonder if he posted that because they wanted to run a test to see, like, let's see if this affects the smart money out there. You know, not necessarily the people that are just betting like a dollar here, dollar there, but people that are actually putting.
I agree. I think someone bribed him because it does help a ton. You know, you'll know when to stay away from betting an over. Like, I'll never bet an over and seeing Chris Tognoni. Never.
Right.
You just never. Same thing with Mark. I trust Mark Smith, to be honest, before I trust Tognoni.
Mark Smith's not bad. He does stop early if someone's getting beat up on the ground, though.
But I'm just saying, if you have an under, you want Mark Smith. Once you see Mark Smith, you're like cheering. You got a guy on your side.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah, I know about Tognoni, but it's just, you know, like you said yourself, unfortunately, we don't get that information most of the time. But
and I recommend you guys go look at that. When you guys get a chance, if you listen to this, go check out Herb Dean's Instagram. He has it posted. And another thing I didn't know is that there's three different judges for each fight. So they have a cycle and they're shuffling them around.
I thought
the judges did every single fight the whole night.
No.
So that's also another thing to keep a look at. If you're going to the judges, you know, there's a couple shady refs on there who could go either way. Maybe you don't even want to bet the fight because of these judges. So this is info that I wish was public every week, because this is how they could get you every once in a while. You know, they know all the money's on one of these fights. They just throw in Chris Tognoni, schedule him for that fight, and all of a sudden, you know, bookies got their under money.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you, man. It makes sense. We just need it every week. That'd be great. Let's move on up the card here. So it sounds like you and Nick are both on Mizuki and Yone. I think anyway. By decision, I'm on her by sub, but I just have her on money line for the second leg of my parlay this weekend. Third fight of the night, man. Two dudes that look just like, you know, a completely different way to look 265 pounds. We got Jake Collier, who originally fought at middleweight. Everyone knows this. Now he's up at 265, tipping the scales most weeks. And then also Muhammad Usman, who, like I said, just looks shredded for being this big. This is your start here. So I'm interested to see what you think.
I have bad history with Jake Collier. I have bad history with him. I made a huge bet on him, I want to say, a couple fights ago against Chris Barnett. Almost had him finish in the first round. This is another thing with the refs. The refs didn't finish it, didn't give, you know, Collier an easy stoppage in the first, but the second he's getting pounded out in the second, is they're really fast to wave it off. And I hate that kind of stuff. I really have a sour taste in my mouth from Jake Collier. Had a nice two-team parlay with him against Chris Barnett. But I was happy to see Chris Barnett. You know, I put him in his first fight in the UFC, and I wish I kind of stuck with him because he's popular and he's a fan favorite.
Gotta love it.
I really am definitely going to be betting Usman here, but I have a very itchy feeling in the back of my head that Jake Collier is going to show out and take my money. And I'm not super confident on this fight. I have to bet Usman. I feel like the line's a little bit off. I feel like Usman should be a heavier favorite. And some people were telling me that he even opened up as a dog on some spots, which shocked me. That makes me really think that it's a trap. Like, they know something, that Jake's going to come out here and show out, or he's going to show out, you know, improve cardio or something. I really don't like this fight. Wouldn't go crazy on it, but I'll definitely have Usman on a couple slips, round robin, just money line. Wouldn't get greedy. And I guess a gun to my head, if I had to take an over under, I'm taking the over 1.5.
Yeah, it's set at 1.5, which is wild. I think that that was a gift, man. This should be a 2.5 realistically, but this is the third fight on my four-leg parlay, dude. I'm taking the first three so far. I already have it set up, too. I'll show you once we're done.
This is going to be the sweat.
This is the one that I'm very nervous about.
This is the one I'd be worried about.
Yeah, I'm very worried about it because what do I have so far? I have two female fights and a heavyweight fight. And the biggest parlay that I've ever placed, really. I've never done a $297 bet before. But the way I see it, I made the plan to do, you know, start with 40 and then go up five times. This is my fourth time here. And then see what I end up with. And at the end of the day, like, I knew it was going to be – I look at it as $40 lost. If I win, great. I still got to bet next event. So, yeah, man, I got Muhammad Usman here all day. Jake Collier, his last performance against Boudet was bad. He looked pretty good in the first round, but the difference with Muhammad Usman and, I think it's Martin Boudet. Usman has power, man. When he can sit on a punch, he can knock you out. I mean, he knocked out Paunga, who's a really light heavyweight, but, the UFC wants Muhammad Usman to rise through the ranks, and they want him to do good. They're slow rolling him, whereas Jake Collier coming in on three losses back to back to back. We know the UFC does set up fights. They don't rig them per se. I don't think that they necessarily go in and pay fighters to lose or whatever, but they set up fights in a certain way, I think, to get a certain outcome. Just look at Raul Rosas versus what was it, Mitchell, right? I mean,
they set showed that up. Him practicing that overhand right before.
Yeah.
The walkouts, that was easy.
Yeah, I took him by knockout. I put $33 on it, you know, just to get a little weird with it. And it hit, man. So I had a great weekend. I made like $500 last weekend off of an initial like $200 investment. So I doubled my money. But yeah, man, I'm heavy here on Usman, man. I think that he takes him down. I think that it's a competitive first round.
That's another thing is that what I'm worried about is Usman's always losing early. He's always losing early. He's always down in the first round. He never comes out. He's a slow starter, in my opinion. And that's what makes me nervous, because we've seen Jake Collier come out, you know, go for first round takedowns, do some unorthodox fight plans. So I'd be worried about round one. I would be ready to live bet the hell out of Usman after round one. If he survives round one, and I don't think round one's going to go too well for him, and I think that's why the line might have even opened up as a dog, because they know, you know, 7 out of 10 times, Muhammad's going to have a slow first round, and they're going to change the odds. So I'd be willing to, you know, get ready to slam Muhammad, dog odds after round one, you know, maybe make sure he's not fully dead on the stool. But, I mean, if Chris Barnett can do it, man, and also hit the under 1.5, don't go too crazy on this over-under, because if Barnett can finish Jake Collier in under 1.5 rounds, I think Muhammad can. But not, I don't know. Something feels trappy about this. This feels like one of those spots where you should just drop the house on Usman.
Right.
It really does feel like one of those spots to me.
Yeah, it's scary always when it's like that, though. I mean, you look at this average UFC fight time, man, obviously many more fights for Jake Collier, but this bottom stat here, essentially the same. So I think these guys are really well matched, man. I don't think that this goes the distance. I really don't. I think we get a round two knockout by Usman or a round one knockout. I've heard a lot of people, I mean, like if you look at Tapology, it's like 90% of people are on Usman and 90% of that 90% are on him by the knockout. And you would think that's got to come round one, maybe round two. Because Usman will gas at the end, but he's not going to gas nearly as hard as Collier, who is supposedly in better shape, but it's only been like 2 months. So, yeah, man, I'm on Usman, and he's in my third leg, dude. I think we get something pretty exciting here.
The odds on that three team.
Well, I got one more in it too. So,
you fucking greedy bastard.
Well, that's the thing. I have to get plus money on my things. That's the whole deal. That's the whole ladder challenge.
Vidal and Mizuki wasn't even.
No, Vidal Mizuki was still minus. This barely gets it into plus territory. And then my next fight gets it to, I think, plus 239. So it's not like a crazy, unthinkable possibility. And again, that 297 will get me $1,008 total. So I feel good about it, man. Like I said, I started with 40. If I lose it, yeah, it's going to suck ass.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. Are you allowed? Is it only parlays?
For the ladder challenge?
Would you be allowed to straight bet each one?
You could straight bet, yeah.
Yeah, why are you going to,
because I don't want to dog.
Recommendation would be is pick one more or take that four-teamer, put it around robin, and put an extra 40 on it. Put 440 on the round robin. Pay out a little bit less, but it probably will be a rack. And then if one loses, you get all your money back, usually, most of it, depending on which one loses.
I already placed the bet, dude. And they took out, they did the thing where they take out half right away. So right away, like when I put in the 297, if I wanted to cash it out, I'd only get like 180 or something like that. But I'm good, dude. I'm confident in this shit. You'll see what happens.
I'm hoping you hit.
Next fight of the
night. If you hit 3 out of 4, you're never going to hear the end of it from me.
That's all right. Like I said, dude, I started with 40.
Half the round robin, everything in the future, you're going to have to.
No, I don't know about that, man. We'll see. Because like I said, I'm doing pretty good so far, and I'm confident. Like I said, no matter what, I still got to put this 1,000 on something next week, and it has to be plus money. And it's not just like 101 or something. Like, it's got to be at least double. That's how the ladder works. Like, you got to.
Yeah, but you can build round robins where it doubles your money, but it still keeps the bankroll safe. If one happens to shit the bed, you get a robbery decision. You know how it is.
Oh, I do. And I am worried. Trust me. I'm going to be drinking quite a bit for this card because I'm excited about it. Like I said, biggest bet of my life. But we'll see, man. We got more to do. You know what I mean? We got more betting no matter what. So it's not going to make or break me. But yeah, man, let's move good on attitude. Here. What's that?
So that's a good attitude to have.
Yeah, dude. No, I got money, man. I'm not rich by any means. Like I said, a $300 is a lot for me to put up, but we'll make it back even if we lose. Fourth fight of the night here. And this is my fourth leg, dude. This is my fourth and final one. Jacob Malkoon. I'm taking him all day. Jacob Malkoon versus Cody Brundage. I think this is it's the biggest line difference on the card for a reason. I think Jacob Malkoon makes this look easy. He doesn't finish many times. And Cody Brundage is just bad, man. He's really bad. I think they're trying to get rid of him. I think
Jacob Malkoon is minus 600.
Jacob Malkoon is minus 590 on my book. Yeah.
Bro. That is outrageous.
I know, because Brundage is that bad.
He's not that bad. He's not plus 400 bad against Malkoon, who beat up. He could even finish a guy with one knee.
Well, he doesn't finish people. That's his whole thing. He really is just like a decision fighter. What's that?
Who's the last guy that they beat? The guy that got
Maximov is the guy that Jacob Malkoon beat, and then Cody Brundage beat Cedric Dumas, who does not know how to wrestle at all, and lost a wrestling match to Josh Fremd, who just got fucked up this weekend. So yeah, dude, I'm pretty high on Malkoon here for sure.
I know, but it's just whoo,
it's crazy odds.
That's like, outrageous.
Why would they set the odds like that if they're not at least thinking? Because, you know, you look at Brundage's record here, his last three, and I have that on my phone here. So he loses. I think he loses by finish a couple of times here too, but the Dumas loss was by decision. My phone's being whack again. You gotta love this. But yeah, man. So. Let me try and pull this up. What do you got, though, on this fight?
Jeez, man, I'd be willing to take a shot on Brundage, honestly. I know it sounds stupid, but he's the taller guy. He's longer. The odds are just too wide. They're way too wide. Like, definitely. As just a punt, they're absolutely way too wide.
Yeah, if you're not, like, this is the whole thing. If you're not parlaying him, I don't think it's worth touching. But that's why I just figured I'd throw him in. So he loses
Cody by finish, stupid punt, because that's probably the only way he wins. I don't see him winning a decision. or even Cody finish only. So if it does go to a decision and get a little push, I do like betting dogs like that. And another way I like to bet dogs is by betting against the favorite getting the finish. So I wonder what Jacob Malkuna's finish odds are, because the other betting the other way, as long as he doesn't finish him, any other outcome pays you. And I do like doing that strategy as well.
Yeah.
Just betting against the favorite getting the finish. So I don't know. I wouldn't go too crazy, but I wouldn't mind a shot on Brundage. This is way too wide. It's just way too wide, man. For a guy,
yeah, it definitely is.
That puncher's chance is very live at +400.
For sure. Yeah, and this isn't like it's like a ranked fighter fighting some like can. Although I do think that Brundage is a can. His record kind of shows that. You know, Malkuna is Robert Whitaker's jiu-jitsu coach. I don't know if you knew that. The dude is underrated for sure. And when he was fighting Maximov, you know, this dude's Australian, and Nick, who my co-host who's Australian, he hated him. You know, he's like, dude, this guy is whack. You know, his style's boring. It's not fan friendly. You look at his knockout win losses. I mean, he has three finishes, you know, two finishes really, but he's gotten finished once. Two knockouts, five decisions. That's his seven wins right there. It is boring, right? But then you look at Cody Brundage lately, man. He's just not fighting like he wants to even have the job. It's weird that they're the same age, essentially, because Cody Brundage just fights like he's way older, man. So yeah, I'm high on Malkuna. A lot of people are, and I, you know, people that I've listened to, they're all saying kind of the same things.
I agree with that. He is more technical. He's the better jiu-jitsu practitioner, but he fell in love with his hands, and he's gonna. I don't know. I just don't trust this fight IQ. He's going to give Cody plenty of opportunities to win this fight on the feet, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. If he doesn't get eight takedowns like he did in his last fight, it's going to look pretty rough. Or if he only gets three, which he won't because he's got bad ground control. I think he's going to look like that. He's not going to look like a -590 favorite. He's simply not. He might look like a -200 favorite. And those odds probably will shrink if you're looking a live bet. They'll shrink throughout the fight. But I definitely think Malkuna gets this done, man. And that's going to wrap up my parlay, dude.
Maybe he's due for a finish. UFC wants to give him a finish.
We'll see. I mean, I don't know why the odds, again, you know, similar to how you were saying, why aren't the odds so much wider in the Usman fight? Why are these odds so wide here? You know, I don't know if they know something. Someone has to know something. Either that or this is a trap too. But we can say that about every fight.
It's extremely strange because Jacob Malkuna is 590 against like anyone in the UFC, pretty much.
I agree. But last week too, I was also thinking like, why is Lupe Godinez -400 over Elise Reed?
Oh, that made sense. That made sense though.
Because of her bad fight IQ, you think?
Because Lupe's the hometown Mexican, so you already know she got judges on her side.
I'm saying she should have been a -800, though. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying
she had a really easy path to get a finish, which was getting her down.
Right. So that's what I'm saying is, like, it should have been a wider line on her. Like, you know, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, but that's why it went so high. I mean, Lupe was what? At open, -300.
Yeah.
And it got smoked.
Yeah, I just don't get how it didn't go to -600.
I remember going to bed one night, all the lines were like normal, and then I wake up and then everything smoked.
Yeah. Yeah, and it moved a lot towards the end too, on all those. But yeah, man, I got my four fights in my parlay right out of the way. We're going to know if we're going to have a good night or a bad night right off the bat. But yeah, man, go ahead and take this one. We're on fight number five here. Tim Means versus Andre Fiallo. Who do you got?
I have a lot of love for the Dirty Bird, man. I'm rooting for him. Like, my heart is rooting for the Dirty Bird, and my wallet also wants to bet the Dirty Bird. I wish the line was wider, though. This is one of those fights where I'm like, yeah, he has to be live. He's +160. He has to be live, and he's just one of those guys. He looks good for a round. He can gas out. I think Fialho's got the better gas tank, and he's going to be there. I think it's going to be close. I think Tim Means is always winning round one. He's always looking good in round one. So betting this fight that I think that's why the line's low, because they think Tim Means going to be up round right off that jab and the cardio he has available. Round two, he just starts to fade. Round three, he's already faded. And that's hard to trust. I honestly see this going to like a sweaty decision, but I could see Fiallo getting a second or third round knockout. Not one that I want to really bet, but I'm 100% rooting for Tim Means. It just feels like Andre Fiallo is going to get a little bit of a comeback knockout like everyone else does against Tim Means.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the script with Tim Means. I remember I bet Nico Price against Tim Means. I said, what the fuck did I do? And then he got the fluke knockout on Tim Means. And I said, ooh, nice. But I was always hesitant again betting against Tim Means after that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I hope Tim Means can get it done, but I'm not. I don't trust Fialho. He screwed me over in the past. But this is definitely a matchup for him to get back into the win column, technically. I just don't like betting those comebacks. I definitely see him down round one. And it's just if Tim Means is going to gas like he usually does.
These guys both need comebacks, man. Andre Fiallo's lost his last three, and Tim Means has lost his last three.
Back against the wall fight.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I don't know. Tim Means, the bigger dude. Obviously, the older guy by 10 years, that's never good. Somehow he's got a better chin than Andre Fiallo, though, man. Like, that's what's kind of crazy. At this age, that's what I'm scared of. Yeah, dude. Yeah. Andre Fiallo gets knocked out every single fight, like second round.
Yeah. Fucking Matthews cracked it, man. But before then, I was preaching how he had like a Drew Dober chin.
Yeah. Yeah. But somebody broke it, man. Jake Matthews knocked him out in round two. Muslim Salikov knocked him out round three, early in round three. And then Joaquin Buckley knocked him out in round two. Made it look easy, too. But yeah, dude, I think Andre Fiallo's got this, and I hope he does. For Nick's sake, Nick bet him. He's got him in his first leg of a ladder parlay type situation, like what I'm doing. But this is going to be a nail biter for sure if you're on that Fiallo side. If we get in round two,
I'll dog him.
Yeah, yeah, man. But I'm with you, dude. It'd be cool to see like an older dude like Means kind of pull it off. But for the sake of this fight. Like, you know, I can't imagine the UFC gets rid of this dude if he loses this fight in Tim Means. So give him one more fight, give him kind of more of a layup matchup, and then send him on his way, you know. But that's not how they work. So I'm on the Fiallo side, dude. I think that they want Fiallo more than they want Means, and they're trying to get Fiallo to win here. Knockout round one, probably.
Not a bad pick.
All right, man. Moving right along here. These fights, man, like I didn't pay much attention to these. Obviously I know about them and I watched some tape, but I was studying like my four most confident spots, which is crazy that it's those first four. But as far as, you know, the Miles Johns versus Dan Argueta fight, I think that Dan Argueta is going to out wrestle Miles Johns. I think it's almost a grappler versus striker situation. Almost. I think that Argueta gets it here. He's the slight favorite. But I think he gets it done. A little more dangerous, slightly more dangerous. I'm on the Argueta side, man. Probably decision, though. What do you think?
I think early it's all Dan. Dan comes out like a cannon. And I think Miles' only way to victory is to stop takedowns, keep it standing. I think he can out-jab Dan and win a decision easy on this card. That's the only way I like Miles Johns to win this fight. But I think Dan has all the finishing capabilities in this fight. You're right. Especially round one. And we've seen, you know, Miles get chinned. But if he can weather that early storm, I'd be very worried past round one. But at first, I did like Miles at the dog odds at first when I saw this. And I know Dan's the popular pick this week.
Yeah.
Not that I'm rushing to the book to bet again, but I will be putting some round robin punts with like Miles Johns decision only, and I think that's the only spot I kind of like here. But I do understand why everyone likes Dan. It's just I don't know if he can get Miles down often and keep him down. Miles is a really good underrated wrestler in my opinion. He just falls in love with his hands too. But yeah, I think I think we're going to see a kickboxing fight here, and that's why I trust Miles to win a decision.
Yeah, he's the more active fighter, a little less accurate. I mean, the strikes absorbed for Dan Argueta is great, you know, less than two per minute. So I don't know, man. I think that this is even everywhere. That 92% takedown defense of Miles Johns is going to make the wrestling kind of hard on Dan Argueta here, but I think he's got him in. And that's why I do think it goes decision. I know you said round one knockout, but I think it's a decision. I actually think Dan gets a decision here, which I know is not but really.
If he gets the takedowns consistently, I think he could do it. I don't know. I see two scenarios. If it's going to a decision, it's wet blanket or it's stand up.
Right. Kind of a stalemate.
It's one way or the other. I don't see a mix really.
This would be the first decision that Miles Johns has lost ever. So yeah, that'd be kind of interesting. If my stats are correct here, sometimes you can't trust them, but yeah, man, let me see where Nick's at real quick. And sounds like you're on the Argueta side too, but do you have him by first round finish?
I honestly, if I've gone to my head, I'll take Miles Johns' decision.
Okay.
To be honest. I trust the stand-up. Hopefully that chin holds up round one.
Yeah, Nick's also got him by decision on the Argueta side. And I do want to just double-check that the I mean, it'd be crazy, man. But, yeah, that's where we're both at. The dude's never lost by decision. Johns has not. So it should be interesting, man. I started that last one. You go ahead and take Charles Jourdain versus Ricardo Ramos in the next fight of the night at featherweight here. What you got?
I've been taking a lot of dogs, to be honest. I loved Ramos when I saw this line. I said, you know, Ramos at dog odds. How do you not take it? But not sure off his backstory. Not sure if he's coming off an injury. But at dog odds, I almost said that was an auto bet. Path to victory. I think he's getting the takedowns here. And I think he's going to push Jourdain to the fence. There's going to be a lot of clinch work. I definitely see my man Ramos getting a takedown, even possibly getting a sub here.
Interesting. Okay. I like it. I am on the opposite side. I have Charles Jourdain. I think he's way more of a dog. He showed really, really good jiu-jitsu defense against Cron Gracie. But Cron Gracie, obviously, he's only a jiu-jitsu fighter. He's a bad martial artist, mixed martial artist, rather. So, you know, Charles Jourdain showed that he's got that ground game. If you know you're just messing with the ground game, you kind of know that's where Ricardo Ramos is going. And Ricardo Ramos gasses hard after like 7 minutes. And Charles Jourdain
does. Right. You're so right. That there, if I had a backup plan, it would be Jourdain like round three. Because I remember Ricardo in his last fight, round three, almost died, right?
Yeah. Oh, wrong one. Yeah. I don't know, man. It is tough, though. It's a tough call because you got some interesting numbers here. Obviously, Charles Jourdain being the striker, he's going to throw almost six strikes, almost doubling. Literally doubling. Just about doubling, I should say. Ricardo Ramos' strikes. And it's kind of wild, man. Ricardo Ramos having less fight time. As far as an average fight time goes, but I don't know, dude, I think this is a nice opportunity to live bet Charles Jourdain. Cause he might lose that first round and you could probably get in early to late round two on a pretty big number on Charles Jourdain. And I think that, like you said, something around round three, potentially a knockout in round three for Charles Jourdain. And I believe Nick is on that same side. He's got Jourdain by decision though. So he's counting on Jourdain taking probably rounds two and three. We'll see.
Yeah, it's not a bad pick. Don't mind that. I see Ricardo overwhelming him. That's what I see.
Could happen, man. And yeah, how long does he have to work on cardio here? Let's see when his last fight was. Couldn't have been too long ago because I remember this dude. This was back in, it was over a year ago. When he fought Danny Chavez, so finished him in round one too. So he's got a lot of round one finishes, man. Should be pretty good. All right. Did you take that one or did I?
I believe you did. I'm on battle right off the bat. That's all I got to say. I said this is, unless AJ Fletcher comes in like a new man. That I said, I thought Brian Battle was free money. This was my first pick. First thing I looked at the card, I said, oh, Battle, man. Ooh.
Yeah.
Killer. Probably by finish. I'm going to get greedy. I love this. This was my favorite play of the card, to be honest. If I had to bet everything, I'd probably bet on Brian Battle. To be honest, I trust this man. But there is a world where he's going to get wet blanket for three rounds and he loses the decision. I could see that too, but I'm willing to risk it here. I see more paths to victory.
Yeah, Brian Battle's pretty well-rounded. It's kind of I wonder if there's a little bit of recency bias. By the way, Brian Battle versus AJ Fletcher here, obviously, if you're not watching. You know, that the whole thing about MMA is half of the bets like kind of happen with like some recency bias, right? Brian Battle the getting lines, that quick finish. Yeah,
the lines. You're only as good as your last fight.
Of course, but I don't know how true that really is. You know, sometimes people have bad performances and whatnot. AJ Fletcher, I believe, coming off a win too. Yes. Thembo Garembo, who's not horrible, right?
Yeah, but that was a sweat too. He didn't look too good in round one. I bet on a lot of money on Fletcher in that fight because he was fighting an extremely low level guy who technically shouldn't even be in the UFC. Like, do I see Thembo Garembo in the UFC in the next 3 years? No.
Well, he's 1-1.
I don't know. I don't see him in the UFC in the next 3 years. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
But AJ Fletcher, I'm just worried about cardio improvement. If he shows cardio improvement and just spam wrestles Battle for three rounds, I'm going to lose it. But that's the only way I see him winning. I don't see him winning on the feet. I don't see him subbing Battle. I just see him winning by out-wrestling him and showing him superior cardio, which I trust Brian Battle to have right here.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's contender series versus tough, right? Brian Battle being the tough winner, and then AJ Fletcher getting a contract on the contender series. I tend to kind of think that the process of the contender series is better, so I'd like to side with AJ Fletcher. I'm not going to, I don't think. But some people that I really like and trust are on the AJ Fletcher side, and he's just going to make it a nasty fight where he's kind of laying on top of him, like you've been saying, wet blanketing and all that. I just think that Brian Battle might have what it takes here. He's the slightly taller dude. What do we got, 3 inches? I don't know how much of a difference that's going to make. He's got significant reach advantage, a 10-inch reach advantage. That should make a difference. So, I don't know, man. I definitely do
give
see.
You a scenario that will, like, help you a lot more. You hear that Chris Tognoni's the ref.
If Tognoni's the ref.
I'm going to go more Battle because anyone get clipped on the feet, and more likely like AJ Fletcher getting clipped, it's more likely an easier stoppage and an easier win.
Yeah.
So right here, this is one of the fights where the ref could become a huge influence on the outcome. So if I knew it was Chris Tognoni, I'm boom. Brian Battle should be minus 300, minus 250 right there.
Yeah. Let me see really quick.
Another source, MMA Junkie used to post them right after the first fight on their website.
Really?
And card. Yeah, they used to do it. And they were the only source that was doing it. And then they started doing it sometimes, and now they don't do it at all. And now there's a whole source gone. I heard there's some sports books that give them out as well. But I know DraftKings does.
You know what's interesting, too, about Fletcher, man? He hasn't been dropped in any of his UFC fights. The two losses, he's only lost by decision. He hasn't been dropped one time in his four fights in the UFC. So I don't know that Brian Battle has the power to do it. He's kind of more technical unless someone comes out and rushes him like I think it was Gabe Green in his last fight that he finished really quick. I could be wrong.
He has a great chin. He can chin anyone now. He proved it.
For sure.
Fucking Ian Garry can't. Well, Ian Garry can't put out anyone, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I don't know. I'm on the Brian Battle side here, too. I think he gets a knockout, potentially round one, round two. But it's going to be tough. I think a decision might be a safer bet. Really, the money line, since the odds aren't too wide. You're getting him.
Yeah, that is a safer bet. I would trust the over 1.5 a little bit, but then again, I trusted it against Gabe Green and Brian Battle.
Yeah, that was like the worst bet ever, huh? Because it ended in like 16 seconds.
And I don't know. Do I trust AJ Fletcher's chin a little bit more? Do I trust his? I guess I could trust his IQ to not go out there and just try to bang in 30 seconds.
Yeah, he's not going to do that, and he's never been knocked out, man. He's never been finished ever in his MMA career. AJ Fletcher hasn't. So yeah, that's
how close has he been to finish?
How close has he been to getting finished?
Yes.
I can't think of any times off the top of my head, but it's possible that he's been, like, been close. But again, you know, it doesn't matter.
Not often. He takes hits. He's like a Justin Gaethje to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that. He doesn't get dropped, though.
And actually wrestles.
He doesn't get dropped. That's going to make a big difference here. Brian Battle, this weight cut does kill him, too, at welterweight. He's really a middleweight. He's kind of a size bully a little bit, but we like that if he's trying to keep it on the feet. But, you know, it could affect his chin one day. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying, is it could affect his chin one day. So not that AJ has the biggest power. I'm just putting that out there for people that might be like, well, I'm all in on Brian Battle. Think about the risks here. Obviously, you know, there's risks in all this shit. But I tend to agree with you, though, man. I think Brian Battle's got this.
It is risky.
I mean, a fight's risky, man. A fight is risky. Let's see what our buddy's got here. Battle by decision for Nick. And let's move on.
Nick on my side, man.
I know. The third fight of the night, featured fight. We've got Marina Rodriguez versus one of the most attractive women in the UFC. She's a little older, but I don't mind that. 37. Michelle Waterson. And I know it's Waterson Gomez. I think it's the second or something, but Michelle Waterson is what we call her here. And these two have fought before. It's the rematch that no one really needed or wanted.
Odds were the first time as well.
What's that?
Odds were a little bit closer the first time, I believe, as well.
Yeah, because Michelle has kind of shown that she is not the greatest lately. And there's a missing stat there with the knockout wins and losses. She's got 3 knockouts and 1 knockout loss for Michelle Waterson. She's a wrestler, though. She calls herself the Karate Hottie, but she's a wrestler. And Marina Rodriguez takedown defense is decent, 64%. So I think Marina Rodriguez gets it done. Similar way to the first time. I don't think there's a finish here. I think it's just a unanimous decision for Marina Rodriguez. And the one thing is, Michelle Rodriguez could make this close. Everyone says that she's way older. She's a year older than Marina Rodriguez, so it's not crazy. I just think the ceiling's a little higher for Marina, and Michelle's on her way out. So Marina decision, probably unanimous. What do you got here? I can't hear you if you're talking.
I'm sorry. I don't trust betting this fight. I see this 100% of the time going the distance.
Right.
I see it could be close. I hate betting close fights. Just staying away. If I'm going to bet it, I'll use the over, maybe round 3 start as a leg. And you know it's going to be juiced, because when I look at it, it's probably going to be like minus 450.
Yeah, so it's going to be an interesting one, man. You'll look at this. Sorry, what was it? You cut out.
I said this being a 3-rounder is a big deal.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is if you look at the average UFC fight time for Waterson, over 15 minutes. I mean, the girl likes to go to decision even in 25-minute fights. Marina Rodriguez is high up there, too, 13 minutes, basically. So, I mean, this is going the distance, man. This is going to go 15 minutes. It's just, does Michelle Waterson get her takedowns? Does she get 3 or more? I think that'll be a big difference maker if Marina Rodriguez can outstrike her. If Michelle Waterson gets 6 minutes of ground control time, she could get this, you know, and that doesn't sound like much, obviously, in a 15-minute fight, but I think that she could actually pull this off. But I think that they're giving her a tough fight so that they can get rid of her, and she'll go fight in PFL or, you know, some other rinky-dink organization here. But, yeah, man, I'm on Marina all day. So is Nick. What do you got?
I guess I would go Marina. She's safer. She's more live for the finish, if there were a finish.
Right.
I don't like odds. I also just don't trust the judges. And I think Michelle's one of those girls who's going to get the close bias for having the,
for sure,
you know, being the fan favorite, to be honest. I mean, yep. No one's going to be watching this fight to see Marina, to be honest. So who's selling this fight? Michelle's selling the fight. And in my opinion, when it goes to close decisions, they give it to the woman who sold the fight. That kept it close. So, you know, it's just one of those spots I would stay away from. It's just seems like a robbery written all over it. And I don't know. It's just one to avoid, in my opinion.
Okay. I respect it. I tend to agree, but We still make calls on all these either way. So yeah, man, I think that's a shady one. Co-main event, man. It's supposed to be me, but I think I just did that last one because I know you're supposed to get the main event, but you can go ahead and take this one. What do you got with Bryce Mitchell versus Dan Ige here?
Hey, Bryce Mitchell all day. When I saw this, I said, that's a lock. Minus 120, dropped a balance. Now he's minus 225.
What it says.
That now it's a no bet. Now they're really baiting on, like, Dan Ige's live at those odds. Like, that's such a big $75 line movement, dude.
Yeah.
That's enough. That's a big movement. That's big. So it's definitely a not bet. Now it's dog or pass, man. Dan Ige got that value on him, plus 175.
Mm-hmm.
He's a knockout. He's live for that close decision. I just see Bryce Mitchell getting them takedowns. I see him having superior cardio. I see him getting top control for a lot of time. And I see this being a very, very boring fight. And yeah, I see Bryce Mitchell by decision.
Okay.
I love like it. Know how I am with Dan Ige, bro.
50K.
I see him getting worked. You know how he made us money in the past.
Yeah.
Got a fade Ige here, but hell no, my bet. I wish I got it in early, but I am not betting Bryce Mitchell at minus 225. I am not parlaying that. There's no value there. If it was even odds, 100%, I would take a flip against Dan Ige to get out-wrestled. 100%. But right now, you know, Dan Ige's kind of live at plus 175. And that the thing is, too, which is that camp is hot.
Yeah.
That is hot. Eric Nixick is so fucking hot right now that he's you know, everyone keeps fading him. And these are the fights where his fighter shows up. So I wouldn't be betting this right now. But at even odds, I was all over Bryce Mitchell. And that's who I think is going to win the fight, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, I like how you say that. Like, you're playing the number, which is really realistically what people should do when they're betting. If you were going to throw somebody in your parlay, it would probably be Bryce Mitchell from the way that you're saying this.
Yeah, but you could bet Dan Ige. I would check like odds on Dan Ige finish only.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that is not plus 175. Guarantee you that's probably closer to almost even plus 130. So if you do go to a decision, you get a push. But that's the way I would take Ige. If you're going to mix up some parlays, that's what I urge people to use is a lot of finish onlys, especially like one or two, and spread them out when you're using, you know, some Hail Mary parlays or round robins, because it's just much safer when you get a push rather than a loss.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, like, looking at these bottom numbers of fantasy draft price. Like, I like looking at those because they can kind of sometimes represent the odds a little bit better than the actual odds. 8,800 versus 7,400 Bryce Mitchell, Dan Ige. It kind of puts it into a little bit more of a perspective of like where the books really see the value. Obviously, Bryce Mitchell kind of expected to win here by looking at that. So that's what got me to like the Malkoon spot. That's what got me to the Vidal spot, the Inoue spot. They're all very high up. They're like number 1, 2, 3, and 5 as far as like the highest priced if you wanted to buy them in your fantasy draft. So, you know, Bryce Mitchell kind of sitting there in the middle, top side of the middle. And Dan Ige sitting on the lower side of the middle. I got Bryce Mitchell by sub round 2 or 3. And I think Nick kind of sees it the same way. I know he's real high on Bryce Mitchell. He's got him in a parlay. He's got him sub round 3. So, yeah, man, it's
not a bad pick at all. I like that. Be a sneaky sub bet.
Yeah, and you said it yourself. He's got the better cardio, you think, right? So, I mean, it's going to be.
But, you know, we are betting against one of the hottest camps in the UFC right now. And I just.
Shin Couture.
25. The only thing, you know what it is though? I think Bryce Mitchell's got the bigger audience, and anything close is going to go to him, in my opinion.
Yeah, I am a little worried with all of his personal problems. That last fight, he had like a purple shoulder, so he had to pull out. I don't know if you remember that. It looked like it was some freak show shit. And then when he got his ass beat by Ilia Topuria, he had all kinds of excuses. He was like talking about how he was going to retire, and then he filmed himself crying over his girlfriend. And I'm not making fun of the dude. He's literally crying, you know, talking about how his girlfriend broke up with him and like ripped his fruit trees down and shit, which is a bitch move. But, you know, he's got a lot of shit going on upstairs. Mm-hmm. And Dan Ige is bringing another kid into the world. So he's pretty like, I think he's got a goal in mind here.
Motivated. And,
yeah, man, he's motivated. Last time his wife was pregnant, I think he got a round one knockout. So, you know, it's one of those things where I'm not high on Bryce Mitchell like some people are, but I would pick him to win this fight. And if he doesn't get knocked out in round one by some crazy just Dan Ige punch, which he can do, I think the longer that this fight goes, the more it favors Bryce Mitchell. And so I'm going with Mitchell round two or three sub. Moving right along.
It's a scary fight to bet.
It is, man. Yeah, I'm not going to be doing anything crazy with many other fights other than the ones that I have. So main event of the evening, though, Rafael Fiziev versus Matoush Gamrot. This is a hell of a fight, man. This should be dope. This is like, this is what the Jake Collier fucking Muhammad Usman fight would be if it was two good fighters, right? It's a grappler and a striker. But this is like that turned up all the way. This is what a grappler versus striker match should look like. And you have probably the best striker in the lightweight division versus, I would say, the second or very best wrestler. If we're just talking straight wrestling, Matoush may be the best wrestler, even over Makhachev. I think with straight wrestling, Matoush might be the best. So this is a really, really interesting match, man. A big number that stood out to me is the 90% takedown defense for Rafael Fiziev. Yeah, Matoush has 90% takedown defense too, but he's not going to face any takedowns from Fiziev, I wouldn't think, unless it was just a one-off. But the 5 strikes landed per minute for Fiziev, the 51% accuracy, all the numbers other than the striking defense are in favor of Fiziev. He's kind of the more dangerous fighter when it comes to fight time. But I think, you know, if you're looking at it, actually, realistically, Fiziev is 10 times more dangerous than Matoush is. I think he's got this all day. Slightly younger, but everything is kind of pointing to a Rafael Fiziev round 4 knockout for me. So that's where I'm going.
I'm with you. I'm on Fiziev as well. The thing is that when you think about it, he's the one who's doing damage. Mm-hmm. More damage as the fight goes on. His leg kicks, his jab. I don't really see Gamrot doing too much damage to Fiziev without getting in like a mount position. To be mm-hmm. honest. Without getting a crazy, you know, back control, flatten him out, which I don't see happening. And to be honest, we could even see Rafael get some takedowns in at this part. We saw him take down Brad Riddell and switch mm-hmm. up his plans. You know, he's sneaky. And we might even be able to see him get Gamrot down a couple times. And, you know, I wouldn't be shocked to see a knockout as well. We've seen Matoush get clipped before, but I'm going to go with Fiziev with a unanimous decision.
Okay, I like it. Nick's got him by decision as well. I just see a finish here because for all the reasons that you said, I think that Matoush struggles with the takedowns, that 95% takedown defense. Matoush gets dropped in just about every fight. I think he actually has been dropped in his last 3 fights. Let me double check that.
You just identified another fight where they could throw in that ref and hit him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Chris Tognoni. We got a job for you.
Yeah, so I was right, man. Armin Sarukian knocked Gamrot down when they fought. Beneil Dariush obviously dropped him in that perfect punch. And Jalen Turner dropped him as well. The dude gets dropped his last 3 fights. If those 3 guys drop him, the fucking striking coach from Tiger Muay Thai is going to drop him multiple times. I think he drops him every round until he finishes him, man. This dude is so fast. So I think he gets it done. When you look at the records, 12-2 versus 22-2, it looks like Matoush has so much more to offer, and he's just a more dangerous fighter, you would think. But if you look at like how often they're going the distance, Matoush is constantly going the distance, dude. 10-2 in decision, victories and losses, and then Fiziev being 3-1, man. He's rarely going there. So 8 knockouts for Rafael, for half the amount of fights. He's actually got one more knockout than Matoush does, dude. I think this is him all day. I think Fazeev's got this. And like I said, I'm calling knockout round four after like a beating. I don't think it's a one and done type thing, but I think he beats the shit out of him for 20 minutes and gets it done there.
Might be some recency bias on this one too.
With Fazeev or with Gamrot?
Fazeev.
With his loss?
Yeah, against Gaethje, getting beat up. You know, people are going to be sour about probably backing him here.
Yes.
Which I don't get why, man. You know, getting beat up by Gaethje doesn't look too bad after Dustin Poirier just got knocked out. You know what I mean? Like in the second round, it didn't even take three rounds, much less five, like they were scheduled to fight. So Fazeev putting up that fight, showing how durable he is. I think he's got it, man. I'm heavy on that side. I don't have any money on him yet, but I would feel comfortable putting some money on him depending on how the night's going. So we'll see. But
very safe.
Yeah, man. Should be pretty dope, I think. Should be a good card. I don't know if you got anything to talk about before we head out of here, man, but pretty excited to see how this goes and definitely got some money on it.
Yeah. Definitely going to build some five team props, all plus money, and see if we can hit a little something.
Oh, yeah. And I know, too, that Nick had bigger bets on Jourdain, Usman, Bryce Mitchell, and his biggest bet is on Marina Rodriguez. He's doing like three times what he normally would on Rodriguez there, which I think that makes sense. You know what I mean? If I was going to do a super, super risky parlay, man, I would probably do something like the two fights that I have the first time of the night, the first, two girl fights. I'd go Vidal. Let me see what this would be real quick too. I'll just leave you with something that might be kind of spicy. Vidal Inoue. I would go Tim Means with plus money on that. I'd go Dan Argueta. I'd go Charles Jourdain. I'd go Brian Battle, Rodriguez, Mitchell, and Fazeev. And that 19 parlay will turn $10 into $527. I think all those fighters win, dude. So we'll see.
Shit.
We'll see, man, just for throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. I don't know if I'll do that, though. I definitely got something going already. So, yeah, man, plug anything that you want people to hear about before we get out of here. And this will be playing on YouTube, and then it'll be playing on the Dangerous World podcast feed where it'll get a lot of listens. But we're hoping to get more views. So whatever you got.
You can follow me on Instagram, really active on there, at ProfitPicks, ProPhet. And, yeah, answer all the DMs. Usually on here whenever I'm called, and yeah, hopefully we can make this money this week, guys. Another red flag I just saw, yo, Muhammad Usman fight goes the distance, even money.
Goes the distance is even money, so they're not, so that's a red flag for Collier.
Yeah, that's fishy.
Huh, that's a red flag for Collier. Why are they setting that at 1.5? If they're also thinking it goes the distance, what are the odds on the 1.5? Because I don't have that on FanDuel.
225. It's higher than I thought, but I do like that. That is a little bit too juicy.
So -225 for over 1.5?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, man. I think something's a little weird with that, dude. I think that they're just trying to get people to kind of be on both sides there, but I think that they want the Usman win. Kamaru's kind of fading a little bit. They want one of those they love being able to say, you know, the younger brother of one of the probably the greatest welterweight of all time, realistically. I know everyone says GSP, but the competition was wild for Usman here. But yeah, man, good stuff. I think it should be a pretty damn good card, man. Good luck on all your bets. And I hope that, you know, if you want to share any of those five leggers or anything, let me know. But do you do any like services where people sign up for any of your picks or any of that kind of shit?
Yeah, we do $19.99 a month to get everything. And yeah, we just broke a little losing streak last week and made everyone happy again. But yeah, we're going to look at some SGBs. We're going to look at some strike counts, over-unders right now because they don't really release them until Friday. So I really love to look into and dive into those because we've had good luck with those. But I did just get screwed on one recently on the Manon Fiorot Rose Namajunas fight.
Okay.
So here's the background on this. We're watching the fight live as they're counting strikes on ESPN. And I had 25 plus round one and 60 plus total for Manon. So I went through all of her fights. She hit every single one of those stats. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to bet it. It's -140. I'll just lay the juice. It wasn't a crazy bet. It was just, you know, I'm testing the waters, put like 100 on it. And we watched the first round. She landed 26 according to ESPN. So I thought I hit. And then I just stopped watching because I thought, you know, the fight was going to go the distance. I was going to get enough. I checked the end of the fight. She apparently landed 75 out of like 240. You know, out of a good amount. So I thought the bet was going to cash. They took mad long. And I checked UFC stats, and they changed it from 75 to 58. So someone lost the fight and then changed the stats afterwards. And not only did she land less than Rose, but it was under what I had for the first round, too. They changed 26 to 15. And it was a two-legger. They both had to hit. And I was just like, why was this a unanimous decision if Rose was outstriking? And that's how they get you when you're betting strikes sometimes, because I rewatched it and I thought I hit every single prop.
Yeah, man. Whenever I do like the underdog betting book, I always just do $10 into 200. Like I do the five tier, the five leggers, because those rarely hit. And like you said, like when I watch those, I need it to be way over, if like on ESPN, because that's where I'll watch. I need for me to feel confident. I'm like, okay, so-and-so's got to get 54 strikes. If they get up to the 70s, I'm like, all right, cool, this hit for sure. In your case, that still wasn't enough. That's fucking nuts, man.
But I would love, I shouldn't really even be betting it, but I've been testing the waters. I usually had a good run until that broke the streak. But every once in a while you can find a good spot with someone round one to get a lot of strikes. Like Volkov, like, smoked his at 20. He landed like 50, I wanted to say. But there's usually some good spots on the striking. You just got to look for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean Strickland's usually a safe bet too. But yeah, man, we'll get out of here. Thanks, everyone, for listening and watching. Hopefully you're watching. Just check it out on YouTube, Casual KO. It's going to have way less views than listens, but all the value's in watching. You know what I mean? You get to see all the cool shit. So big thanks to Alex from Profit Picks. Check him out. I'll plug the Instagram in the show notes and in the podcast notes and all that stuff. But guys, good luck if you're betting. And I really do encourage you, even if you're starting with $5, to try that ladder or Eiffel Tower challenge, whatever you want to call it. Turn 5 into 15, 15 into 45, 45 into 100, 100 into 300. See if you can do it. It gets intense towards the top. So we'll see how it goes. But again, thanks, Alex. And everybody out there, take care. We'll see you next time.